Okay, today we're going to be looking to finish up, hopefully finish up, session four. So we're getting real practical about using God's money wisely. And as it is, the material we have in front of us doesn't actually incorporate any scripture. So we're going to go back and to get a little bit of scripture incorporated and to refocus us on whose wealth we are managing. Let's go back to page 70 in our workbooks. The first one we'll read is Psalm 24, verse 1, shaded box at the top of page 70. Please read it with me. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So what does that passage help us keep in focus? Really quickly.
Who's number one?
And whose material wealth is it? Good.
We're just passing through.
We're just taking care of it while we're here. Top of page 71, we'll read 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 8 together. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So like Tom said, we're passing through. We didn't bring anything. We're not taking anything with us while we're here. The attitude of contentment, trusting that God is taking care of us according to his will. And then the last one we'll read together is the bottom of page 71, Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. So as we've been talking about the choices we make with our money, making the most of the opportunities we have, not being foolish, a couple things that are on our minds. So we had talked about housing and transportation, and now we're up to the practical element of insurance, top of page 75. And it is 100% practical throughout the day. So if it's a slam dunk, we'll slam dunk it. And if there's any discussion or questions or insights to be shared, we can stop for those. And we've got Steve, who probably knows more about insurance than I do for sure. So if any questions come up, I'm deferring to you.
Okay.
All right, and we're not going to use the slides because I don't think they really add any benefit today. Okay, insurance choices, spending plan. So in our spending plans, there's a category for insurance. Insurance is an important financial tool to transfer risk of big losses that could have a large financial impact on you or your family. A good rule to follow is to buy insurance against the things you can't afford to lose. Different types of insurance, health insurance. Anyone want to take those two bullet points just so it's not all me talking? Go for it.
Okay.
I think he meant read them.
Yeah. Used to cover medical bills, especially the catastrophic costs. Reduce premiums by increasing their deductible. Use emergency funds as a backup.
So this could be a sticky subject, given what's going on in our government with health insurance. You're going to see this theme throughout the insurance category. Use trying to increase deductibles if possible and using emergency funds as a backup. And that way, in the end, if you can afford to do that, you're probably reducing costs overall. Instead of paying a high premium for a small deductible, a lower premium for a higher deductible, but then you've got backup in reserve to take care of the bigger things. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
If possible?
You, to a point, then you can overdo it too. So, but I mean, you can overextend your catastrophic level. But most people underestimate what they could do and what they can save. You take a look at it, and then you play the odds. Over in health insurance, over 80% of the people will use minimal amounts in a year. Less than 5% will use over their maximum to hit their max limit. So, you know, if you can go in between and have some money, much better off over a couple of years.
So we even talk about that with our workers at St. Mark's, the idea of if you want to opt for a higher deductible and health savings account with the difference or something like that.
And you look at what your needs, and you throw some of that in. How often do you need to use it? If you get a person that has to go in frequently, that may not be a good option. So you have to play all the angles on it and look at all the reasons for why you're having it. Insurance isn't a front-end cost. Go ahead.
Okay.
The thing that I found is that insurance today don't want to pay a number of the situations that you find yourself in because that's not covered. We don't cover that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so insurance and high deductibles don't help at all if the insurance company isn't going to cover the medical issues that you have. So you've got to take that into consideration as well.
That's only few and far between anymore.
Yes. Sorry, say that again.
It's only few and far between anymore.
I tend to disagree.
I play the bills all it. The problem has been there's no pre-existing anymore.
Okay.
So you're not being dropped or limited because you had a problem in the past, which was a frequent thing, you know. And they're covering so much of things these now. I mean, the government has mandated mental health coverage is full. You can go down the list of mandates that are on there. So, I mean, it's getting hard. Now, what they often won't do is they'll try to get you to go in for an outpatient surgery versus a full fee. Well, there's a reason. There's about a $45,000 savings there for the company. And 90% of the people will come out fine doing that. And if they have to, they'll go back and do the other. But hey, you always try to go for the hey. Accountants run the business, and they're going to save a buck. I'm not going to, hide that either.
Yeah.
Does that mean continuous coverage doesn't matter anymore?
What's that?
Does that mean continuous coverage doesn't matter? If you didn't have coverage for a certain period of time, that would be a problem. Is that still important then?
No, not as much. Mm-hmm. But now if you have a gap of more than 6 months, you have yeah. So if you went to, then you couldn't. They're going to limit 90 days.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Your experience that because they can't get you on the pre-existing and all that, it seems like passing through underwriting is difficult, much more.
Well,
that's their only chance to get you.
Yeah, there's virtually no underwriting anymore.
In medical,
I guess for for this kind of insurance, I'd say like long-term care insurance.
Oh,
that's hard. Yeah,
it's not on the list.
We'll get down there. That's another whole animal that'll give me more gray hair than I wanted.
All right, sorry, man.
That's all right. No, this is good. Let's go to disability. Three bullet points. Anyone want to read them?
I'll read them.
Thank you.
Disability insurance replaces income due to disability. Reduce premiums by increasing the waiting period. Understand the difference between regular and occupational policies.
Any comments?
Yeah, I have a comment. I was told, I don't know, Steve, maybe you could, that as a guy with a family that depends on me, this is worse, living is worse than dying.
Yes.
If I was to get, for my age, my demographic, I think the biggie would be like a car wreck. I get in a car wreck and I'm a quadriplegic. Not only am I not bringing any income in, I'm sucking cost away. It would, from pure financial point of view, die.
You're right.
A little peek into Mike's world.
You're right, though.
So this one, I was told by somebody that. And don't think this is. Oh, I work on a skyscraper, or I am an airline pilot, or I am a demolitions. This is not high risk. Highest risk is getting in the car and driving to work. So that was a lesson that I didn't learn the hard way.
It's called the living death.
Living death. Okay.
There's a way of saying it. You should be dead. You'd be better off for the living. You say you're a drain.
Financially.
Financial. And if you die, hey, you don't care anymore anyway.
I'll be all right.
He should look at that. The problem is it's not cheap because disability can be used more than once in a whole lifetime. Where life insurance, you get one shot at it. But it's there, and you balance that. There's where you can balance out. You have enough of an emergency fund to wait 6 months, which would lower your premiums significantly, than 90 days, versus 60.
Yeah.
Don't even talk 30 days.
Exclusion period or
whatever. Yeah. Waiting. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, again, it's the long-term disability. This is not the, oh, I racked up my knee and I can't work for 6 months. That's bad. Again, quadriplegic, I'm never working again. That's the really bad one.
This is where you start failing on things with a 5 year to age 65.
Okay.
And things are look at for pricing, for one, and for what are the odds? Again, the odds are less than 3% are going to be all the way to 65, but 45% have a chance of 5 year.
I see.
So, Steve, let me ask, is it, now I might be expressing, or anyway, I might be showing some naiveness here, but is this commonly an employee-sponsored thing, or do you see people having disability beyond that insurance there?
Generally, it's employee-sponsored.
Employer, yeah, I'm sorry.
Because they're going to give you the better amount. Generally, an employee plan will cover up to 60 to 70%, depending. You're on two-thirds of your salary, non-taxable. Which equates out to close
right,
to your salary,
close.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, as a guy in a big company, they give us 60% income replacement.
Yeah.
There's two plans. You can buy 60, and I think they pay for half of that, you pay half of it.
Yeah.
Or you can buy up to 75% income replacement, and then you pay all that gap.
The gap
between that.
But that is a choice you make.
Yeah, and then you can even go buy more. You can go buy another.
Yeah, you can't get much more than that.
Probably not much more, sure.
The one caution I would give for called workers, I know of two pastors that went on disability, and they said, well, our congregation can't do without us, so I'll just continue to preach. And the Senate disallowed both of them.
They lost it.
They can't work and be disabled.
Yeah.
So if you're disabled, don't keep working.
Yeah, if you're disabled, you think, well, you know, with a teacher, you would say, well, I'm disabled, maybe I had a stroke, but I still can go in and do administrative work and stuff like that, because both of them had a stroke. And one is now back working.
Full-time.
And the other, full-time, and probably shouldn't be, and the other one is totally retired. He was close to retirement. But see, that you think because we're a church body, but that insurance isn't run by our church.
Right, right.
It's got an insurance company.
Yeah.
And you got an accountant sitting back there.
Double dipping.
Yeah. Double. He's got that calculator going, and he's sitting there saying, they're making two. What he's saying is they're making more money being disabled.
Yeah.
And they're not going to allow that.
I know people that retire and then go back to work part-time or whatever for the company, sometimes full-time. Isn't that double dipping?
You can't go past a number. They let you do a little, but once you go past a lot.
And I think these days you're pulling out of your own retirement that you've saved. So if you want to pull from your own retirement for that,
well,
and then
you're on Social Security.
Right.
Okay. But you're going to get taxed on that. And
after that, it gets up the blue.
Yeah.
Then you have to look at that.
You've already paid tax on that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right.
But if you go back, probably twice.
All right.
Over a certain amount.
Here we go to life insurance. We're on a mission to finish session four. Okay, we got four bullet points here. Anyone want to take them?
Hold on, I'll take them. Life insurance, an important tool to cover the financial impact of death. Determine coverage that equals times around your annual salary to support people who depend on you.
The guide suggests 5 to 10 times your annual salary.
That's too high.
That's a lot.
5 to 10?
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
What would a different number be?
3 to 5 times your income plus the mortgage.
Oh, there you are.
3 to 5 plus. Yeah, the classical case is you give your wife 3 to 5 years, figure it out, and you pay off the mortgage.
Okay.
That's very stereotypical of a man dying and a woman not.
Well, maybe.
But, yeah.
Maybe as the woman's already been working.
That could be an adjustment factor.
Yeah.
If the woman has never been a working person, then you might need it.
But now she's got no help.
Yeah.
No help.
But you don't have a mortgage. That's the biggest help to you, too.
Wipe out the mortgage and give your spouse X years to figure it out.
Okay, keep going, Greg.
Oh, Rosemary had a question.
Two major categories.
Let's just finish these up, then we'll come back. Go ahead, Greg.
Two major categories. Term. Less expensive, covering a designated term. Cash value, more expensive, builds certain levels of equity. Consider term insurance as a way to provide adequate coverage that is affordable while investing the difference.
Okay, go ahead, Rosemary.
So I
had life insurance when I had kids, when I had the kids, because I'm still carrying it, but, I mean, is there a time when you don't need it? Like, I don't really have dependents anymore, but I have a mortgage, so.
Well, if you want to give the kids the house mortgage free, and, you know, is it, you're now doing it as an inheritance.
It becomes an estate matter, yeah.
You're going to have certain expenses at death. I mean, that's, I mean, you're going to, someone's going to have to bury you some way, shape, or form, whether it's cremation or burial.
And, that's very expensive.
I you have to figure the equity that you have in.
Oh, yeah, and then house equity, and, you know, and how quick do you want to liquidate? But the answer, in all honesty, it depends on what you want to do with it right now. You're not obligated, if you want, you know, to do that. Okay, I would tell
you
that.
Nothing says you have to give your kids something. Yeah. We tell Greg, don't count on getting anything.
Good. I'm spending the last.
Not letting the cats.
Another non-traditional use or of life insurance. It's extremely tax efficient. If I die and you're my, what do they call it,
beneficiary
or beneficiary, tax free, no probate. Yeah.
Are you regretting that?
You're out. So it can be super tax efficient way for a state to shove a bunch of money into an insurance policy.
You can get into a lot of things with it, but
yeah, we're starting to get it.
We're getting a little more esoteric right now. One of the nicer ways, if you want to do it, designate the church as your beneficiary and come over to the church.
Yeah, that's great. You know,
that's another nice way to give a larger gift for a small amount of money.
Really quick, Steve, kind of the balance of term and whole. Do you agree with that line of thinking?
Yes.
Term and then invest the difference. The investment can do better than what you would gain through the whole life insurance policy?
If you will do it. We used to say, buy term, invest the difference. The problem
is most invest
people
the difference.
Bought term and spent the difference.
Right, right.
They didn't invest. If they invested,
so what do they mean
again,
term? I don't
term insurance, you buy it for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You buy it
cheaper
for a period of time. The other is a whole life or universal.
And after 10 years, you get no money.
You get no money. You're renting coverage.
Yeah.
You can buy a lot or little. It's good when you get young kids.
Yes.
If something happened to you in the next 10 or 20 years, you know that you can cover the mortgage, the house, their living expenses, get the kids even through college. Always have a small amount of permanent that's going to be there forever, you know.
Well, that's when I got, when our kids were gone, I took the money out of our whole life and bought a short term because I figured I needed for like 5 years. So I just did a bunch for 5 years.
Yeah.
And now they're old, I don't care. You know, so
too expensive. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Now, I'm practically speaking and personal, I guess. I can't remember if it's a 20 or a 25 year term, but let's say I bought that when I was 30, so it only gets me to 50, 55.
Okay.
Any thoughts on?
Are your kids independent?
The longer you, the later in life you buy a term, the more expensive it's going to be.
How do I say it? The insurance company does figures at 25, you're not going to use it. At 55, you're a candidate.
Right.
You're getting closer to using the thing, and they don't want to pay. They have a great door for income, a very small door for outcome.
I think the smart thing they can do is to get that longer term because it's low cost.
Right.
And it gets you to the point where you probably won't need that insurance.
Okay. Yep.
I had another one. It's these buying life insurance on your new baby insurance. That whole thing's once upon a time when parents literally couldn't afford to bury their kids when the mortality rate was high, it was relevant.
Yeah.
But buying insurance on your kids is a total scam, right?
Close to it.
Yeah.
How's that?
Or for your grandkids. Oh, look at the Gerber baby.
Oh,
I gotta buy that.
Well,
right.
You're getting a lot of the, you know, seniors, you should get, you know, $20,000, I don't know what it is right now.
But to pay for your final
funeral.
I guess, if you have no other way.
Yeah,
that's it. Funeral Advantage Plan, that's it.
Invest the money that you would pay for insurance on your kids and your grandchildren.
For college.
Yeah, put it in a Coverdale account for education.
Yeah,
so, yes. 529, whatever.
Because
you
aren't going to make it. And even in the best universal life that's out there right now, boy, I can go into the, you know, indexed and all of that. The fees on that thing are ridiculous.
Yeah.
First of all, the insurance company's making money. Second of all, they're paying me money to sell this thing.
Yeah.
Which bothers me at times, because it's way too high a commission. You know, for what? I feel I'm doing it to take people's money. I mean,
no, my point, well, the reason I raised it is to talk about pulling on the heartstrings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the Gerber baby and all that. It's a scandal. Even good financial people.
See some of the things that come down the line of how you can sell. You know, to me, it's, yeah. I consider it borderline crooked.
Can't put your head on the pillow.
Oh, I couldn't get up. First wash told me one thing I had to do every day. Get up in the morning, you have to look at the biggest person in the world that you have to agree with, and that's the guy in the mirror when you're shaving. Can't look at him, he says, you quit. You know, get out of this business.
You have to answer to a bigger guy.
But his point was that if you're doing this and you can't look at yourself in the face, you're doing it wrong.
Any profession.
All right, here we go. Auto. I'll read them. Shop and compare, again, that idea of a higher deductible and having backup, and then combine policies and save. Does that basically mean homeowners, auto, same company?
Auto, renters, auto.
They'll give you a break.
You usually get a 15% discount for putting two together. And you look at companies. Everybody, I love it. If I took it up one night watching, you could save $600 here, $600. They should be paying me for having my insurance. If I'm going to save this much in each of these policies, which is a farcical thing. Yes, if you can afford it, what does it cost to fix a bumper in here?
Now your bumper's got cameras in it, and a lot.
$1,200 to $1,500 for a simple bumper, because they replace the whole panels and all that. So
yeah.
Go for the 1,000 deductible. It's so much. You'll save so much over the 500. But you've got to get people have got to put money aside. Unfortunately, in this country, most people have less than 3 weeks of emergency fund. That's what's scary.
Isn't there a credit
card? All right.
I think I just failed it. Finally, Sam.
You got to start all over.
At the same time, I got nothing for you to.
Okay, we're turning the page. Homeowners insurance, top of page 76. Sarah's going to read the bullet points.
Check to be sure it is replacement cost if you own your home. If you do not own your dwelling, protect your contents with renter's insurance. As assets increase, consider an umbrella liability policy.
And then the one little insight that the leader's guide had was keeping an up-to-date list of your house inventory, which could be as easy as taking pictures of all the rooms of your house. And
they walk through with a video camera.
That too.
Or you camp your own phone camera and you take it and send it off. And send it off-site, of course. You know.
The cloud. Just put it in the cloud. Yeah. It's always ready.
I mean, we'll go back to the old days when we used to use Polaroids and running through the houses, anything you wanted.
About 99 cents
jewelry
data.
Jewelry becomes an issue because they usually only cover up to $5,000 on jewelry. So if you have some expensive jewelry, they call it a floater, get that for the jewelry. Umbrella, only if you have, you really need to have a business or something where you're working out.
Or a swimming pool or a boat.
Yeah, where you can get into some extra liability.
Somebody could say, injured you.
Well, which our homeowners we normally cover. Yeah. Then you want, umbrellas are fairly inexpensive.
You're pointing a finger at
me. There was a boat accident and you had to.
Well, does my boat insurance cover that?
But not
up to a dollar amount. They want to sue you for $1 million. They may pay $100, now the $900.
They go through the rest of your assets now.
Yeah, they look at all the assets.
So that would come into play under homeowners?
I'm okay with that.
You got pockets pulling in them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But most people's liability will cover them adequately. You know, it's the umbrella. Or if you own your own business where they can come back at you, you might want it. It's just a protection.
Okay.
And that starts at $1 million. I mean, so you've got to have a lot of coverage up to there.
All right, we're going to keep cruising. Other options, maybe dental, maybe your health insurance has a dental option or something like that. Long-term health care covering nursing home or in-home care. List of insurances to avoid, I'll let you read those on your own. They're saying bad idea. Steve, if you have any different opinions, you can interject, but we're going to keep going. If you're being practical about this and taking care of your spending plan, this would be the point at which you go to that and you start thinking about money you're currently spending. And if you've learned anything, you might consider making some adjustments. Any ways that you can reduce expenses? Are there any other alternatives, options, substitutions, and so forth? And take care of your spending plan accordingly. So let's talk about saving money now. Top of page 77.
Can I just put a footnote to all that? You know, everybody's life changes. Like every 10 years. Every 10 years, just like you might consider getting a new car, consider looking at these insurances.
Adjust them. There's adjustments.
Yes, exactly.
When I was, in my early mid-30s, I had a young son. I was planning on, he's a doctor now. He needs to take care of me when I
die.
But I mean, what do I need the $500,000 of coverage I had at that point? No, I need adequate to make sure that she's covered, the house, thing. But that's changed. Do I need to look at long-term disability? More likely if I'm going to adjust my... So you're always in a flux of changing where you are.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that long-term care we skipped over, that's a biggie.
Yeah,
I mean, my mother lives down the Bay Area. It's not hard to spend $15,000 a month.
No, that's not bad.
$15,000 a month on an assisted living.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
that's cheap, especially if her mind goes. She's coming up here. We'll tell her she's there. But you want to talk about wiping out what you spent years and years and years putting away for. It'll just be gone. $15,000 a month.
Yeah. They take every hour.
And you're right. You probably could spend $20,000, $25,000 a month.
How do we even justify that?
It's what the market will bear. They got waiting lists. Yeah, they can raise the price. It's still up waiting.
Take the Escaton over on Walnut and see what it costs. There's a waiting list almost a year long. And if you want to buy into it, I think it's a minimum $150,000 to buy into a studio. Then you're still paying on top of that.
So, and I mean, I think the time for that is what, in your early 50s?
Late 40s, early 50s is the time you start.
Way too long.
In your 30s. It's the same price as if you're 45.
Yeah.
So it's,
They'll take all your assets but your home to pay for that?
Depends on how you have your home.
How your home is.
Yes.
They'll drain you pretty good. Drain you as far as they can.
Who's they?
Well, that's if you go in the federal government.
We're talking about they.
The federal government, now you have nothing left. They'll put you in a government nursing home.
And there. Assisted care.
Good luck with that.
And not Escaton, let's just say.
No.
It's more like Fort Bragg, probably.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks for pausing us on that. Page 77, thinking about saving a little bit. And this is kind of a self-reflection, and some of what's on the page here might be a little bit dated when you get to that chart, thinking about what certain things cost, like a movie ticket for $6.75, maybe if you're going to a matinee. But anyway, the idea here is
this book was 2008.
Yeah, I like how they
shows you what's happened.
I like how they call it leaks in your spending routine. So just kind of self-reflecting, thinking on certain things, that 200-day estimate is kind of like if you're doing this during the work week, your daily stop at Starbucks on the way to work or whatever. Or then some of them by the month projecting over 5 years. So you look at the chart and you see some of those little fringe things that you might be indulging yourself in. And if you were to take them out of the picture, how much money can be saved in a year? How much money can be saved in 5 years?
I heard a saying, a small leak. It talked about paying credit cards off to start with the lowest one to build momentum.
That makes sense.
I've been on Pinterest studying this.
I'm just thinking everything on Pinterest.
It's all over Pinterest.
It's fun to equate those annual costs sometimes to something you could do. I think we've joked about boat nets. I could fill my tank.
Or maybe boat cast is one of these things.
Well, if you cut some other stuff out, you can fill the tank.
Well, and there's even been times where, church is struggling, and we even throw this back at people a little bit and say, what about that daily Starbucks or whatever, Not to be guilting people into anything, but just in terms of thinking about how it adds up.
There's some reciprocal need at church, and bam, you can give a chunk because you saved it. Or you know, I think of like plane tickets. Wouldn't it be fun to go see so-and-so? And, well, here's your plane ticket.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But a long time ago, way before, you know, I was got into the stock market, you didn't buy a refrigerator until you had all cash. And I think it's going back to that. You know, it's saying, okay, if you want this, save up and get it. Do without, right?
Unless you refrigerator completely.
You take the stuff over
and
the
your food is all being spoiled. And you can't wait for a sale.
See, and then we go back to 1 Timothy 6, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So by no means take this as you need to cut out every little pleasure in life. There's a point to which we enjoy what God's blessed us with. But at the same time, if spending is our goal or saving is our goal, these are some ways that we can free up some funds for saving. So the attitudes at the bottom of the page, I think these really get to the heart of the matter. Am I spending on myself or managing God's resources? Do my purchases reflect the difference between needs and wants? Are my credit cards making me spend more than I should? Have I given God honor with my tithe and offerings? Am I focused on the future or on instant pleasure?
We've got to send to Jim Holman about Starbucks. Jim was horrendous at spending money at a Starbucks for coffee.
Probably still is.
I'll send it to him.
The problem is not how much we earn, but how much we spend. Got to live within our means. Okay, so with the duration of the time, here's what we've got in front of us till the end of session 4. And I think, I don't know, you can work with people sitting close by. You can kind of, I don't know, I guess we'll divide and conquer. So what we have on page 78, 79 is different categories of choices we make with how we spend our money. Food, household, entertainment, professional, and then some miscellaneous. Then you turn to page 80, and they give you some insights, a whole bunch of bullet points on thinking about some decisions that might help you save with groceries, help you save with clothing, help you save with gifts, help you save with all these different categories that are listed on pages 78 and 79. So I think what we want to do here is just kind of divide and conquer. And what we can do is, you know, if we said Greg and Carolyn are going to take food choices, groceries, they kind of skim and scan through the groceries and they kind of ask themselves, is there anything interesting here that might be worth noting for the group, rather than the whole group reading every last bullet point, which we can do on our own time, but we don't necessarily have to do right now. So can we take a divide and conquer approach like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You the boss.
Greg? Well, let's just throw out volunteers. Food choices, groceries. Does anyone want to tackle that one? Sarah wants to attack that one. So Sarah and I are going to take groceries, probably because I'm always riding her about how much we're spending.
Until he has to go, and then he is texting me.
Clothing?
She knows all the shops.
Okay, so household choices, clothing, we're going to give. All right, sounds good. Then we've got housing choices, gifts. The notes are on page 82. Anyone want to take gifts? Mike and Kelly on gifts. Household choices, books and magazines, top 83. Anyone want to take that one? Someone needs to take that one.
Books and magazines?
Who buys those?
Should we skip it?
On here.
Entertainment choice. Okay, since it's a short section, we'll combine it. Books and magazines and entertainment dining out. So all of page 83. Anyone want to tackle, especially the dining out? Thank you. Tom and Pam, page 83. Then we've got technology, travel, page 84. Anyone want to take technology and travel?
Mike,
you got that one.
I got it.
You already got gifts. You four in the corner. Technology and travel.
We can buddy up with him for groceries, though.
We'll
she wanted
groceries
to do that.
On you. In the corner, Steve and Ellie. You've got the whole
professional choices.
Other category.
Page 85.
You got page 85.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so just take notes on anything you think is insightful, or if you have any of your own insights that this does not list. A couple bullet points worth sharing, and then we're going to share in about 5 minutes. Okay. Yeah, but there's time.
That really sounds good, right?
We shouldn't be letting the on the record here talk about avoiding the little $30 trips to Walmart in between. But a lot of those come up when we're like going 7 times or something. Make a shop.
I like that.
See, I always have an empty stomach, so anytime I'm in a store.
Where's for impulse buying?
I don't believe that.
Ask him.
It's true, I've completely been cut off with the grocery shop. Oh, and then I went shopping for camping the other day. I was so lost.
He's texting me like 7 or 8 times, and he's funny. He's like, 5 years ago. I'm like, yeah, welcome to my world. Yeah.
I have
now
a greater appreciation.
Now that online doesn't look so bad, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good. Carolyn always would give me a hard time about going to the store for
one
eggs and I come home with
like five different
eggs and pancakes or eggs and bacon. Things that make sense.
And the really expensive orange juice.
I'm a sucker for that cooler of Dr. Pepper by every checkout.
Oh my goodness.
You buy 2 liters for $1, but
seriously?
Instead I'm buying 20 ounces for $2, you know.
I do this just by me to Costco. Carolyn, do you cook in bulk and freeze or like
no.
your meals ever?
No. I wish I could. I know, it's like we eat it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like I'd have to spend a whole day cooking enough to where I'd have enough to eat and extra to freeze.
It's great.
I try to do it. Yes.
It's like $200 for the groceries, you have 20 freezer meals at home. Then I need like a whole Saturday to do that.
Food,
we don't
food
really
saver.
Have a whole Saturday.
Yes, exactly. Like that's your job is cooking, you know?
Right.
Like you really have to make that your job. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, I've heard
some. How about coupons?
No.
Fruits and protein.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah,
it's not
junk
that you should be eating.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's why I shop at Winco, because I feel like I'm getting a good price on the food anyway. When I go to any other store, even Walmart, like when you're getting your whatever toilet paper and stuff, the groceries at Walmart are more expensive than Winco. So
the Winco is cash only.
No.
Cash or check?
Debit card. Yeah,
not like
if I do debit. You just can't do credit.
So they're passing on the savings to you by not the 2 or 3% on the credit card.
Yeah. But really, I mean, it's like the store. If you go during like Sunday afternoon, the store is crazy busy and it's so stressful. But you save a ton of money. I mean, like literally on a few items, you could save $10. You know, it's just ridiculous. So that's why I justify not spending the time cutting coupons. And then you drive around spending gas to get all the stores discounts.
You got Winco right there.
How many people are there now? Have you noticed that, Google? When the best time to frequent? You haven't seen that?
But that's not convenient for me to shop at those times, right?
It's 24 hours.
I find myself at the store a lot on Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
And that's when I have to.
Exactly. That's exactly how
I just got to bring it back. You know, I had that for
And then buying in bulk, like, what do you keep on this stuff? Honestly, it would try me.
It reminds
me,
you can talk to your husband about some more
cash. That graph down there? You see the graph?
Yeah.
It tells you.
It's red right now?
The most people are in the high part of the graph, right?
Red is live. So sure, that's Sunday?
Yeah.
So you're right. Early afternoon, it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
should have gone before church.
Yeah, that's exactly when I'm there. Yeah, before church.
Use your smartphone.
Then you got to say time is money.
Yeah.
Is the savings worth the time you're spending in line? Oh, they are. Okay, so you could go in obscure times.
I used to go in obscure times.
Obscure times.
Yeah, like I used to go like after the gym. At 4:30 in the gym. And it's like no one's there. But then they've got all the forklifts and stuff.
Oh, sure. Piles of stuff in the aisles. Yeah.
Because they're trying to reload.
There's just never a perfect time.
There's never a perfect time. Yeah.
There is
8 in the morning.
Safeway and Raley's, they deliver it to your house. Amazon's coming.
I go on the shop online and to pick a time to go pick it up.
And then you don't have impulse buying, which I think
that's
is
what she's
to make your list while you're checking the cupboards. I get my menu or my recipes up on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring it back in. When we get to your area, you can say whatever you want to say. Useful insights you gained, your own personal insights, just a few points. So the Webbs and the Bowers had food choices, and we're talking about grocery shopping. And I'm going to let my wife or Carolyn or Greg do the talking on this.
Because you don't shop?
Because
you're
talking.
It's not allowed. It's the one he marked is don't go shopping in an empty stomach.
Yeah.
That's so true.
And it's never the case. My stomach's always empty, so I have no business shopping.
So don't go shopping.
Exactly.
Drop the rest of it.
Go ahead, talk about some of your...
Meal planning, I think, is super important. We just were talking about this. And it's probably not a secret. I just started doing the online shopping at Walmart so I can have my recipes open and be making my list, and I can be checking the cupboards and the fridge at the same time. And then I only get what I really, really need. And you just go to the store and say, I'm here, and they bring it out, and it doesn't cost me anything extra. Exactly, because I do that too. Or I buy something that because I think I'm out, and then it turns out I have it or whatever. That has...
Good for you, Sarah.
Yeah. Now we're talking about...
That's how he mocks
me, because I have to drive a few miles further, which he thinks is silly, but I think
because it's
long
only...
Because they don't do that at every single location.
Yeah.
But for me,
shame
it was
on you,
worth it. Because then it saves me all the time of going through the store, and the checkout line, which sometimes takes just as long as the whole...
Yeah, but in his defense,
part.
He did acknowledge that he thought you were saving money because you weren't doing the health plan.
The online options are probably going to continue to increase. Amazon just bought Whole Foods, and they're going to use kind of that as their platform for just getting local and distributing much more easily. And then do you want to talk about Winco?
Yeah, so a lot of these things don't really work for me. So I like coupons. I just honestly, I don't have the time. So I just shop at Winco. It's very frustrating. The store is very crowded. You have to bag your own groceries. But every time I go to another store and buy something, I buy mostly the same stuff, and I'm looking at the price going, I know it's $1.50 at Winco.
Yeah.
Like $1.50 less at Winco than
it
is here.
You're pretty convinced that's
totally.
A
so when I go to Winco, I know I'm getting the rock bottom lowest price, and so I don't, in my mind, feel like cutting coupons is beneficial, and all those other time-saving things.
Well, why not buy in bulk?
Yeah, but then where do you keep it all? And like, honestly, how many different... No, he's got tools in the garage. No, there's no place for
We do have window stock, too. Or Winco stock.
Winco, no. It's employee owned.
No, I've been shopping Winco since I was in Reading, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, paper goods are not good price at Winco.
Paper towels.
All right, we're moving on. who had clothing and who had clothing?
She did.
Go for it. Any insights on buying clothing?
I think they're different.
Clothing. You have to think in terms of style, which is classic, and not fashion, which is passing, because that's trendy. And think like Audrey Hepburn for you women, you know, like a couple pairs of nice black slacks, white if you want. blouses, things that you could intermix with other things, and you could get this kind of stuff literally anywhere if you know the look you're looking for. And it could be Kmart, Walmart, and if you want to splurge on a nice fitting pair of jeans every now and then, but stay with classics. Go to consignment stores, thrift stores. There's people that you know, go up in weight or go down in weight, and you could pick up some really neat things. And with pearls, nobody knows if they're real or fake. And I happen to love pearls. They're classic. Amen, sister.
They're fake. They're fake.
And if somebody looks at your purse and goes, that's a knockoff, do you really care what the snob thinks? No.
She loves it all.
You know, I would say consignment stores are great. And we used to work at one, and it was so much fun. Yeah, so I highly recommend. We have quite a few around here. So that would be a go-to.
Like the time of her life, you give her like $15.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
much.
Oh my gosh,
Anna.
That was
trashy.
Exactly.
Oh, good. Sure, it's only $1. My laser for $8.
Right.
My favorite one on here that I did this years ago.
In the garage, right?
My favorite one on here, and I did this years and years ago. I do not buy anything when I look at the label. I don't care how much I like that or how classic it is. If it says dry, yes, clean, dry, clean only, it is going back on the rack because you pay for that garment over and over and over again. And there's certain stores where you could walk in and it's BR.
What does that stand for?
Yes. Yeah. Everything in there has to be dry cleaned.
Yeah, you don't. That doesn't
everything.
You don't have to.
Even I go next level. Thing,
you
know,
if you wash it by hand and lay it flat to dry, you don't have to dry clean. I have blazers, pants, all kinds of stuff. Lay it flat to dry.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Those are great insights. Roushes have gifts.
No dry cleaning.
Any insights on gifts?
Give experiences versus giving gifts. So,
gift cards.
Yeah, or gift cards.
Do you guys do that like at family? Your drinking card, here's your gift card.
Well, that's great.
Like, yeah.
Here's $20, here's $20.
We didn't see under like set limit. So say if you're gonna do like a family gift thing, like say, you know, don't spend more than the X so that everybody feels comfortable with it.
Gift cards, especially kids when they get a little bit older, it's better to give because you can't find.
My part is it's so meaningless. Oh, yeah. The concept being so meaningless if you don't.
That's why you did baggy
candy. So we had to make something with our parents and whatever. And it was the hardest year ever, but it was meaningful.
But you still were talking about it here.
You know, it's expensive. Cards, as you all know, if you go and you buy somebody a birthday card and you've been spent $6.99.
Yeah,
you
go. Oh, that's nice.
You can go to the Dollar Tree
and spend $50.
Well, you can make a card. Or if you want a card, buy a box, you know, of like 20 cards that are really pretty. And on the inside, you write what you want. Happy anniversary. Glad you guys made it 50 years. That's awesome. Or happy birthday. You know, write it in there. And like you, in the Dollar Tree, you would save so much money. It's not even funny.
His brother took a picture of the card he wanted to get for his wife. Here, this is what I would have done for you.
I should have done that. That's a great idea.
Well, Facebook is so helpful now.
That could be litigation for that.
Yeah.
Another one we had was giving experiences sometimes. Like, you know what? Greg loves to, I don't know, play golf. I'm not just going to give you $50. Let's me and you go and we'll play golf and then I'll buy you beer at the end. Or, you know, time gifts. With all the spare time we all have.
Okay, we are finishing session four, so it's going to be quick. You get to share one insight from this point forward. Who had dining out? That was this corner, right? No, that right there. Okay.
Magazines and dining out.
Okay, so real quick,
go and trade books with your friends, E-Trade.
Oh, there you go.
You can get them cheap sometimes on your computer. Real fast with dining out, look for discounts, look for coupons, and don't make with your children, okay, we're going to do something great today, we're going to go out to eat. Don't make that the great thing.
That is great. We call it fun supper. That's fun.
Find something else.
You don't have to clean up afterwards.
Well, some
we're going to have party.
I know. I just said.
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst thing about eating out for me is paying for food that doesn't taste as good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Life is a better cook.
But it's a break for us.
But it's a break.
Yeah. Well, it works for you.
I have an idea on that, too. I was taught by this lady in church once. She said, Sunday afternoons, she makes three casseroles. 3 days out of the week, she doesn't have to worry about what she's going to pull out of her journal.
Not going to at one time.
Yeah.
All right, let's go technology. Technology and travel in the corner here. It's got to be quick.
Well, technology basically don't, you know, try and get like, you can wait, you can defer your wants for a while sometimes on it. And then, I don't know, it's kind of hard because like each of my family has a laptop, I mean. So we all have our own personal thing, but you know, Holly's is from back a while ago, or you know, that's still waiting for.
An iPhone 5 still works.
Yeah.
That's the S.
It's very slow.
Anything about travel?
Travel.
The guy with the latest pictures.
Yeah, we don't. I
only had one comment about the travel, and this is just more like local. You know, I live in El Dorado Hills, so I have to drive a long way. So if I have to do something in this area, I try to do it during church time, you know, after church, because I'm going to drive down here.
And
skips church.
That's why she. That's why she was late.
Yeah, she says she's going to church and she gets stuck in Target right to the service.
People who really want to travel that have the means to do that. I know, like the Riedels, for instance, he spends a lot of time online. Finds these amazing, travel deals.
Yeah, when you have flexibility as far as dates.
Especially times and dates.
Yeah,
If you want to, like, we like to go up to see the kids in Washington. If we will take a 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock flight on a Tuesday or Wednesday, it's $100 less each to go up and come back if you've got the time. But you've got to play on the game.
All right, I think Steve and Ellie, did you have the other?
I just, if you're under fitness, you know, joining expensive gyms, there are a lot of other ways that you can exercise and stay healthy without being, you know, joining an expensive gym.
Some of us are doing their walking here.
Yes.
Well, and we're, you know, bike riding.
Meeting new people here. Yeah. And
under hobbies, we highlighted weigh the return versus the expense. Because some people get into hobbies, they buy all this expensive stuff, and then they hardly ever do it. And under events, plan for the events and look for the free. There are a lot of free things
out there.
And
the other thing is, my next door neighbor used to drive me nuts. I'd be up there mowing the lawn. He goes, "Why don't you have somebody hire that? Come on up to the gym with me." I'm getting my exercise there. You're paying two people for, you know, doing the same thing. Come on.
All right, here comes. Thank you all for those insights. Here comes the big wrap up. Page 86, some interesting things about child care, education. Notice the box says retirement savings should usually have priority over education savings. If you've got kids under your roof, well, there's allowance for adults and allowance for children, so I guess allowance for adults could potentially apply to everybody. Oh, man, and then you can go to your spending plan and plug in some numbers. Page 89 is interesting for your own reading. There's a lot of different industries and purchases we make that maybe aren't fixed prices and in a free market system. Notice the box says more than 90% of shoppers who haggle get a better deal on furniture, electronics, appliances, and medical bills. So maybe some of those insights on talking prices down. We're not going to have time to get into gambling, lottery, and games of chance, but there's definitely some scriptural stuff to think about there.
Put it that way, you're not going to win. Save yourself the time.
to wrap it up, let's just go top of page 92. We'll reestablish our focus. This was you for using his money wisely. My relationship with God, God's the rightful owner. My identity, I'm a manager. My heart, faithfulness and responsibility. My focus, it's not my money. Let's finish with the prayer, bottom of 92. Dear Jesus, forgive us for getting carried away with our carelessness in the way we've used or invested your resources. We so often forget that you are the owner. Take our poor decisions and make them turn out for our good. Help us trust that you will bless decisions made for you. Guide us so that our daily choices glorify you and show us thanks for all you have entrusted to us. Amen. Oh, sorry we got quickly at the end there, but we got to keep trucking.
Hey, young man.